This morning, we're going to be looking at the question, where is our treasure? From Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 through 21. Jesus is preaching this great Sermon on the Mount. And as he discusses these spiritual matters, he turns toward earthly riches and what to make of them. He says in verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break through or break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus' thoughts here flow out of the 10th commandment, which is found in Exodus chapter 20. And verse 17, it says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." Covetousness is an unlawful desire to possess other people's belongings. It is also applied toward the hoarding of one's own possessions. Sometimes the word covetousness is translated greed in modern translations of the Bible. But the idea is that this is an unhealthy relationship toward possessions, and specifically toward wealth and material things. And that is what Jesus is warning us about here in these verses. Treasures on earth. What might those treasures be? They could be money or land, houses, furnishings, personal possessions such as cars and clothing. All of those things fall underneath what Jesus is discussing here. And when he is telling us, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, he's telling us something about where our priorities need to be. Well, let's think this morning about Jesus' words here in verses 19, 20, and 21. And we'll note three things. First of all, Jesus instructs us not to treasure earthly treasures. Second, he instructs us to treasure heavenly treasures. And finally, he instructs us to understand where our heart is in relationship to these things. So let's think about those three points this morning as we think about the question, where is our treasure? First of all, Jesus says this, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break through or break in and steal." The interesting expression here in the Greek language is that the verb "lay up for yourselves treasures" or "lay up treasures" is the same. It's a cognate form of the noun treasure. So literally, Jesus is saying, don't treasure treasures, or don't treasure up treasures, if you will. And that's what he's trying to get across to us. And the notion is about what we value. Is this an absolute prohibition? If we were to think about it in those terms, an absolute prohibition against treasuring up treasure, then we couldn't have a savings account. We couldn't have a checking account. We would never be able to have anything stored away in our home at all. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying here. I don't think he's making an absolute prohibition. In fact, Even Jesus and his disciples had a money box, according to John 13:29. So Jesus himself saved some money for some purposes. So that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about living some kind of ascetic life where you take a vow of poverty and never ever have any kind of personal possession whatsoever. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Because he had some possessions. He didn't have much, but he had some possessions. And his disciples are told, in fact, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 16:2, and he uses the same verb that Jesus uses here. The command is to lay by in store, or store up some treasure that you can give. And so it's not an absolute thing. So what is Jesus prohibiting here? He is prohibiting the selfish hoarding of wealth for one's own sake. Look at, for example, Luke chapter 12 and verses 16 through 20. This is another great passage where Jesus discusses the idea of hoarding up treasure. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?'" And Jesus draws this conclusion in verse 21. He says, "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." At the beginning of this parable, in the previous verse, he gives us this warning. He says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses." Jesus does not want us to make wealth and earthly goods and physical possessions the sole pursuit of our life. No, in fact, just the opposite of that. We are to regard those things in an appropriate way as the tools that they are to be used for his purposes and for his desires. When we wrongfully value money and possessions, that puts things out of kilter in our life. For example, we may then decide that God is not the priority in our life. And for the sake of wealth and for the sake of possessions, we will disobey God's commands. But Jesus commanded us in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37 to love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart. That is the first and great command. And we are to put that first within our life. When we wrongfully value possessions, then we may decide that our possessions are worth more than the people that surround us within our lives. And we may decide to devalue the people and value the possessions. That goes against the second commandment that Jesus gave. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 22 and verse 39. And so possessions come into conflict with the two greatest commandments. The commandment of loving God, first of all, and the commandment of loving our neighbor, second of all. And the constant threat is there that the possessions are going to become to us more valuable than either God or other people. Jesus is prohibiting this. He is prohibiting of wrongly valuing these things over what is truly valuable. He is prohibiting identifying with this wealthy lifestyle that pursues riches more than anything else. Paul gives us some very helpful teaching in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 9 through 10 in this regard. He says, "But they that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Notice what Paul says. Two things I want to call your attention to here. First of all, those who are minded to be rich. Is it a sin to desire to be rich? Paul says the answer is yes. It is a sin to be minded to be rich. Why is that? Because they fall into many temptations. They fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts. These lusts drown them in destruction and perdition. It is a sin to desire to be rich. Paul explicitly says it right here. And we've got to take that warning in our life. That desire will take control of us and will make us into something that we do not desire to be. But what is the second thing that he says here that we need to pay attention to? The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Money is just a tool. It is to be used to take care of the things that we need in this life and to take care of others. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it's not money itself that is evil. It's what we do with it. And specifically, it is the love of money. The love of money doesn't come from money. It comes from within us. And that's something that we need to fight and battle and overcome also. How are we to regard money and possessions? Again, they are just tools. They are an ends or a means to an end. They have no intrinsic value in and of themselves. This pulpit is a possession. It has no value other than its usefulness. Your automobile is just a possession. It has no value other than its usefulness. In eternity, those things will no longer be. They will not persist. And that's part of Jesus' point here in verse 19. He says that moth and rust destroy these things, and that thieves break through and steal these things. What's his point? They come and they go. They come and they go. And ultimately, they will go, because they will be destroyed along with everything in this earth when Jesus Christ returns one day. And so how should we regard them? We need to use these things that God has given us for good. And that's what Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 17 through 19. Listen to what he says here. "Charge them that are rich in this present world, that they be not high-minded, nor have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who gives to all richly all things to enjoy." Now, what are they to do with these riches that they have? That they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, willing to communicate, that is, to share these things with others. And in doing that, what are they going to do? They are going to lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on the life, which is life indeed. What is life indeed? It's eternal life. These treasures are to be used for good. That's what their purpose is. And that's how God wants us to pursue them. So Jesus' first statement is, do not treasure earthly treasures. But then secondly, he says this, treasure heavenly treasures. And what are heavenly treasures? Well, we got into describing what some of those heavenly treasures were in the previous point, thinking about doing good things and good works and helping others. Those are the beginning of heavenly treasures. But how can those treasures be treasured up? How can they be saved up? We know how physical treasure can be saved up. You can put it in a piggy bank, or you can store it in a house, or you can park it in your driveway. That's how physical treasures can be saved up. But how are spiritual treasures saved up? How do we treasure up spiritual treasures? Well, we've got to understand this, that God is keeping the ledger. He is making a record of all that we say and all that we do. Even now, even today, those books are being kept. And one day, those books are going to be opened. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which are written in the books, according to their works." God is keeping the books, and He's going to judge out of those books those treasures that we are supposed to be treasuring up, those heavenly treasures. While we may not keep account of them, God is, and He will open those books one day. In Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, Paul says that He will render to every man according to his works, to them that by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that works evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no respect of persons with God. And so God is keeping the books. And one day those books will be opened and everyone will be judged from them. So what are these treasures in heaven that God is recording in His books? They are those good things that we do that will be counted as good on our behalf based upon our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, we have no righteousness of our own that we can present to God, but Jesus Christ has presented His righteousness to God, and God has accepted it. And by participating in Christ's righteousness, God is then going to count the good things that we do on our behalf. He is going to impute them in our favor, the scriptures teach. When we think about Mark chapter 10 and verses 29 through 30, we understand how this works. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, that no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life." So what must it be for? It must be for the sake of the gospel. It must be for the sake of Christ. That's the purpose. And for those things, God will then count our good deeds as righteousness. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 23, "I do all things for the gospel's sake, that I may be a joint partaker thereof." And in Hebrews 6 and verse 10, we read, "God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which you showed toward His name, in that you ministered unto the saints and still do minister." God does not forget those good works, and He is keeping the books. So what is Jesus commanding? treasure up treasures in heaven. First of all, he's saying, recognize that God is the priority, that earthly things do not take priority. Secondly, he's saying, do good works. And what are those good works that we're supposed to be doing? We are to magnify Christ Jesus. Paul says that Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by my life or by my death. Philippians 1 and verse 20. We must further the cause of the gospel. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19. Paul says, pray for me that utterance may be given, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We must help those who are in need. Ephesians 4 and verse 28, let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things that is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. We must value other people above things. People have eternal value. Or what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus asks in Matthew 16, verse 26. One soul is worth more than the whole world, and we need to value the souls of men. And we are to use money correctly to fund the good works of the gospel. Romans 15, verse 26. To take care of those immediately under our direct care. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. And then finally this morning, Jesus makes a point about our hearts. Where are our hearts in relationship to our treasure? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is our treasure on earth? That's where our heart will be. Is our treasure in heaven? That's where our heart will be. What we put in our heart is what we will become, whether earthly or heavenly. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 16 and verse 9. Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, but an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Luke 6 and verse 45. If we put bad things in our hearts, then we will get bad things out of our hearts. And if we put good things in our hearts, then we will get good things out of our hearts. Jesus said, for within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Mark 7, 21 through 23. James said, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish, or demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. James 3, 14 through 16. But if we put good things within our hearts, then good things will come out. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Psalm 51, 1 and 2. Our hearts are where this matter will be resolved. Will we fill our hearts with earthly treasures, or will we fill our hearts with heavenly treasure? Jesus wants us to fill our hearts with heavenly treasure. Will you make that your aim in life? To fill up your heart with good things, doing good, not pursuing the almighty, quote-unquote, dollar, as many have said, but rather just pursuing the almighty God who gives us life and breath and all things. What will your choice be this morning? Let's resolve not to lay up treasures for ourselves on the earth, but rather put our treasures in heaven. And God, who is keeping the books, when those books will be open, we'll have no reason to be ashamed in that day. This morning, God wants you to give Him your heart, to begin treasuring up heavenly treasures. The first step is to become a brother or sister of Jesus Christ, a child of God, a Christian, through hearing the word of the gospel and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. We identify with Jesus Christ and with His teaching. And in so doing, we will begin to put aside the earthly treasures and to start storing up the heavenly treasures. Or maybe this morning you need the prayers of the church because your struggle with earthly treasures has gone awry and you need help getting back on the right path. Well, we're here for you. We can pray for you. We can help you. We can talk. Whatever we need to do, let's get those treasures in the right place. So this morning, if you have a need, we invite you to come and respond to the invitation while together we stand and while we sing.